Brian Had a Dream. 10,000 movies, 40 years. This is his journey, and this is your invitation to join along. This is the quest for 10,000.
Hi, I'm Ben.
And I'm Brian.
And welcome once again to the quest for 10,000, our audio journey with Brian as he tries to watch 10,000 movies before he turns 40. Thank you so much for downloading this episode of The Quest, for listening to it, and for sharing it with others. Drop us a line at 10K Movies, T-A-N-K Movies, on Twitter, or at Brian's blog, 10kmovies.com, to join in on this quest and this conversation about movies and what Brian is watching and what we might all learn along the way. In this episode, we preview 2017, our companion piece to our last episode where we reviewed 2016. We talk about the movies that are coming up in 2017, and our top five is going to be top five breakout candidates for 2017. Who is going to make this new year theirs? But before we dive into those and maybe other topics, Brian, tell everybody where you are right now on the quest for 10,000.
I am at 7,492.
All right, so just a day or so away from 7,500. That must feel pretty good, huh?
It does. By Tuesday, I'll be at 7,500. And as far as I can tell, I'm right now, I'm at a little under, needing to average a little under 2.7 movies a day.
Does that change the way that you watch movies? Like, will you watch kind of two and then start one and think like, well, I can finish this up tomorrow and still stay on pace?
Well, I mean, I try. I for most part, every day I'm going to probably get two. The weekends, if we're not doing anything, if we don't have anything going on, I try to bank a few. So that because I know that, you know, there's going to be a day or two during the week, or maybe that next weekend we're going to be busy and I'm not going to have an opportunity. So when I have a few, you know, I think I need to bank a few right now so that I'm okay.
Well, tell us about the last few movies that you banked.
Well, we went and saw Sing, the animated movie, at the theater with my son, and that was it wasn't eye opening or great, but it was pleasant and a fun, you know, night out. Had a tremendous cast, so you really are a little worried that it couldn't have been better. Another movie I saw was a weird cult movie from the 70s called The Baby. This family of a mother and two daughters, they have, she had a son as well. The son is a grown man who is developmentally delayed, so they have kept him in a diaper and a crib his whole life. And now he's in his probably 20s, and there's a social worker coming who apparently is okay with the arrangement at first. I mean, most of the social workers are okay with this arrangement. But she convinces them to let the child come out, or the man come out and interact with other people. Well, it turns out the reason she wanted to do this is because her husband was in an accident that left him mentally challenged as well, and now she treats him roughly the same way. So she kidnaps their baby so that her husband will have a playmate. It is a really, like, who thought this was a good, bizarre. I would like to mention a few other films. A movie from this past year, Christine, which is a documentary about the last maybe month in the life of a woman that was a news anchor in North Florida who attempted suicide on air. And it's a good movie about depression and about how that can just engulf you and just, you know, nobody, you know, how unaware we are of the suffering of those around us. It was pretty powerful. And another movie that's just fun, crazy, silly, a movie called Time After Time, starring Malcolm McDowell and Mary Steenburgen. Malcolm McDowell is H.G. Wells, and he follows Jack the Ripper to our time, which was at the time 79. But the movie's interesting because McDowell and Steenburgen were married, and they fell in love during the course of this movie. And they were married for 10 years or so before she met the true love of her life, Ted Danson. So it was fun. I mean, it was not great, but it was fun.
Listeners, tell us, if you've seen any of those films, tell us what you think of them on our Twitter feed. And maybe even make suggestions for movies Brian should see next, or that we should talk about, given the likelihood Brian may have already seen a film you suggest. Brian mentioned a couple of films he had seen recently in 2016, and as we preview 2017, I thought maybe it would be worth thinking about movies that came out at the tail end of the year, kind of our Oscar season movies that either, Brian, you haven't seen yet and will see in 2017, or movies that are probably going to start getting more publicity maybe in 2017 because they're going to come up more during these award seasons.
One that I just haven't been able to see yet, and I know I will love, and that's La La Land. I love Damien Chazelle's work in Whiplash. I like Emma Stone. I'm ambivalent about Ryan Gosling, but understand he has talent.
I agree with you. La La Land is a movie I haven't seen yet, but really want to, and especially now after
it's Golden Globe. And the people I know that have seen it have for the most part liked it. I haven't heard negative. Another movie I'm really curious about, and it's gotten mixed reviews, but I'm still really curious, is Silence by Martin Scorsese.
Yeah.
It looks like the type of movie that I will like, but I understand that it doesn't have the kind of wide box office appeal of some others. But it feels like a passion project for him. And, you know, it's interesting to see, too, because he's in his mid-70s now. And there's a possibility that maybe the quality of his work, you know, it's hard to maintain that level when you are getting to that sort of age, you know, your interests are going to change. So I'm really curious about it. And then another one that I'm interested in that is, I know will be wildly depressing, but Manchester by the Sea interests me as well.
Yeah, I've read some reviews and synopsis, even spoilers for that film.
It's a gut punch. Although I'm really, you know, when the war season kicked off in mid-October, November, there was a mini backlash against Casey Affleck because of allegations of some really bizarre and wildly inappropriate behavior by Affleck when he was directing. I use it with air quotes, directing I'm Not There with Joaquin Phoenix, that horrible idea of a prank that somehow almost derailed two careers. And, you know, the stories where he was like being really inappropriate and sexually offensive to women and manipulating women and all this kind of stuff. And it seemed like that might derail him from being really a contender. But he won the Golden Globe. He seems positioned to win the Academy Award, which I think is fascinating because a very similar thing happened to a movie I had thought would be around come award season, Birth of a Nation, and now it's nowhere to be found. It has fallen off the map. And it was partially because of some allegations that came out about its producer, director, star, seemed to really work to cut that movie off at the knees, but Manchester seems to have legs, which is just interesting to me.
All right, well, let's move on from some of the award season films and just talk about the movies coming out that most folks know about and which ones really are grabbing our attention at this point.
Well, the first one is going to be Episode 8. I mean, it's in December, it's a year away. You can almost count on it. If not the number one grossing movie of the year, it's going to be in the top three, guaranteed, off the bat. And we don't even really know the title of the movie yet. So that one, Spider-Man, is going to be a big deal. Guardians 2 will be a big deal. And I think probably rounding out that group, I think those three will in some order be the top three grossing movies of the year. And I think another one that could potentially upset the apple cart, and it's getting so much, it's already almost entered into beloved status before it's even come out, is the Beauty and the Beast live action film. It's gonna kill. It's gonna just destroy anything in its path. Everybody I know is like, have you seen that looks so? For whatever reason, it's coming out at the right time. It's got the right stars. It's got the whole. Everything is working together to just push it into heights that I don't think they could have anticipated. But the problem is it's coming out in like March, and I don't know that it's going to be able to have legs for, you know, people next January, 8 months later, 9 months later to, you know, it could, but it may get drowned out by the other stuff that's happened since then. You know, the one thing I think it's going to do is it's going to turn Emma Watson will come out of it as just the superstars. I mean, I think she's going to be just off the charts. I mean, she already is, but she's going to have a cachet and a clout that she might not have had even 2 years ago.
The only thing I could see as being perhaps a deterrent is that the trailer, the most recent trailer I saw for it, is like a shot-for-shot remake of the animated thing.
Yeah.
And so I do wonder, though, if that'll create any kind of backlash to it. I guess I shouldn't underestimate, this sounds kind of foolish now that I'm saying it out loud, to underestimate the power of nostalgia. But I wonder if it'll be, if it's going to be the nostalgia that makes it a great, fan favorite movie, or if it's actually going to be the performances
I'm
or
with
the
you. I will
execution of
say
the acting.
the first trailer, which is just her reaching for the rose, was incredibly effective, but it left me with a lot of questions as to how are they going to pull off a talking clock and a talking candle, and how are these things going to look? The most recent preview put those fears to rest. I mean, those look really, really good, and I do have somewhat of a like. My own personal opinion that the beast just doesn't quite look right to me, but the rest of it is just beyond anything I could have hoped for. And
Probably
I'm not sure if the music
groundbreaking
would be exactly
sound.
the same. I mean, obviously they'll have to have Be Our Guest will have to be some sort of number that either
And
alludes
they
to.
sing Tale as Old as Time in the trailer, so
Sure, and you would think that
maybe that
you'd think
helps.
those two, but beyond that, I don't know if the music may be different. And it's kind of it's a similar situation to the way Jon Favreau's The Jungle Book was. It was for the most part a pretty faithful remake of the original, but the end was, from where I stood, very different than the way the 1967 film had ended. And some of that is because of cultural changes since then.
Well, this gets us in, most of the films that we know about in 2017 that have
Are
release
established
dates and
properties.
that, and that's kind of inherent sort of at this stage in the year, I think. It's kind of the blockbusters the studios are trying to get on and getting on a release schedule so they
Well,
don't slip
and
into
what
next year's.
invariably, when I go through a year like this in January, I'll list the movies that I want to see. I mean, I usually come up sometime in January, February, have a list that I know, hey, these are the movies I want to see. And if I compare that list in October, they're going to be anywhere from 5 to a dozen films that got moved and bounced to next year just because they realized they'd never make any noise in the, like originally, I think the movie that just came out, Patriot Day. It was supposed to be a late 2016 release and realized, hey, this is not, let's bump it out a few weeks, and that's going to happen.
As we look at the movies that are coming in 2017, I think we're going to do something we did this same time last year, Brian. And that's take a look at the movies that we think that are known to be released in 2017 and say whether we think they're going to be hits or whether they're going to be huge box office busts
Okay.
as they were. So you've mentioned three that you think already are at the top of the box office list for
Yeah.
2017. Spider-Man Homecoming, Guardians of the Galaxy 2, and Star Wars Episode 8. I tend to agree with you on all of those. No matter their critical success, all three of those are going to make a ton of money and
I think
probably be in the top 3 to 5.
all three will be moderately well reviewed too. I don't think they'll be just like people hate them.
All right, but let's talk about some of the other films coming out. And
Okay.
again, we may have some disagreement on these. One that's coming out very soon, at least preponderance of trailers, Kong Skull Island.
Kong Skull Island is unnecessary. I mean, I love the cast. The cast looks and sounds amazing, but the movie is it's not going to get any traction. Although I will say that the ape in that movie looks really, and the movie looks really good, but it's just not going to break through.
I think that's one that might have a big first weekend, though it still underperforms hopes and expectations. And then kind of peters out very quickly. Let's go next to Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales.
No, unnecessary. Just I'm excited that Orlando Bloom is back. I like that, but man, what? Why?
Man, I think that one's going to make more money than the last Pirates of the Caribbean movie. I think it is going to be
Yeah,
backwards
but
now.
why we need this movie? Like, what are we doing?
I don't think, yeah, I agree with you. I think most of these movies are probably going to fall into the unnecessary realm.
Yeah,
Because
this is
to
just.
me, it's more the idea of, are they going to make a lot of money at the box office, or are they just going to be flops? I think Dead Men Tell No Tales, I think, is probably going to outperform some expectations, I think. Alien Covenant.
Really excited. Do I think it'll make money? Yes, but not. I think at the end of the day, I'd be surprised if it breaks top 10.
One that I'm looking forward to, I know, the Lego Batman movie.
Will be the early front runner for animated film of the year. Just will be fantastic.
What about the next Planet of the Apes movie, War for the Planet of the Apes?
This will be the end of the Planet of the Apes franchise.
So that's a flop. I think I agree with
Yeah.
that. Speaking of a franchise that may be a little bit past its time, Triple X Return of Xander Cage.
You know, I, well, it always astounds me. I mean, calling Triple X a franchise seems a little generous to me. And there are two movies, right? There's two. This will be the third. And it just seems like, why does Vin Diesel, like, what is Vin Diesel's motivation? Like, what is he doing? Why does he need to make another? He's got the Guardians thing going. He's got the Fast and Furious going. Why do you feel the need to make another movie about this? I just don't understand it.
You mentioned it, the fate of the Furious.
It'll make astounding amounts of money. At this point, though, I think they would be wise to, and I hope this is what they're doing, to transition the franchise to be The Rock's franchise and no longer Vin Diesel's franchise. Because then you have all sorts of great ways you can go if you focus on his character.
Speaking of The Rock, he's in a couple other films that are coming out in 2017, both of which are remakes of older properties, Jumanji
Boo.
and Baywatch.
Jumanji is it has potential to come across as a really tasteless film because of the connections to Robin and the way that people of a certain age hold it in esteem, and it just feels too soon to. I mean, I know it's been a couple of years, but it feels just too soon. And the other problem is it's had some problems too with some controversy over some of the cast photos that have been tweeted. Because it made Karen Gillian appear to be a little more than a sex object. Baywatch is going to be underestimated. It's going to be massively underestimated. The tone from the previews I have seen, it is more like 22 Jump, 21, 22 Jump Street than not. So I think it's the proper way to go about making one of these remakes where you're not exactly faithful, but you are. It's like an homage, but you're just going for laughs, really, really doing a spoof. And I think it may. You know, and I have been on record saying that I think Zac Efron is a sneaky bankable star.
Well, I kind of tend to think that both of those movies will be kind of lost in the wash, but it won't matter because it won't dent anyway The Rock's career.
Baywatch will get a sequel. Jumanji will not.
Power Rangers, also taking the TV property. I think this one, as much as I feel like I want to like it, I think this one's going to be a horrendous flop.
I think it's going to be a tremendous success. You're setting, when you say Power Rangers movie, your expectations are not super high to begin with. So anything that's, barely watchable is a success. So I think it's going to be a pretty decent film.
So we disagree on that one. What about The Mummy?
If it were not Tom Cruise, I'd say massive hit. The idea, the concept is ripe. It's ready to go. I think it could work. I'm curious of the tone because I think, horror movies, since the 30s, when these movies were at their peak, or maybe in the 40s, the tone of horror movies has changed tremendously. So I don't know if you can take those characters and put them in modern horror settings and it work. I'm curious about it, but I don't think it will.
A couple of movies I think are probably destined for Bomb City, in my opinion. Tell me if you disagree. 50 Shades Darker.
It.
Okay. The Ghost in the Shell. I say that's a bomb.
I say that it's a cult hit, but it's not a hit. No, you're right. It'll be beloved by some. It may wind up being a Cloud Atlas for me, but
And then King Arthur, Legend of the Sword.
you lost me at King Arthur.
There you go. There just hasn't been a good King Arthur movie since
Never.
Excalibur,
No.
which was
And
from the same decade that produced the film The Baby.
yeah.
A movie that I just don't know what to do with on this list, Cars 3. That
No,
one
I
just,
hate it.
I just have no idea.
Strike me as someone who thought Cars 2 was one of the worst things Pixar has ever done. okay? And by no means merited a third movie. We haven't got Incredibles 2 yet, but we're getting Cars 3. And the key to that is everything I've read, John Lasseter, the kind of the guy in charge at Pixar, he loves the Cars concept. I mean, this is one of, it's his passion in essence, is it? But the preview, the one preview that we've all seen where Lightning is driving along and he just flips and he goes, that man, in some ways, already just that preview is one of the ballsiest things Pixar has done. And it feels like, they're getting into up category as far as just gut punch is a very big, so it could be really good, but I have mild expectations.
Let's end with a kind of a pair, two pairs of movies. For me, the first pair of movies that are going to make tons of money. There's no way they're going to be a financial flop, but commercially, I have my doubts that they're going to be very well reviewed. And that's Justice League, as well as Transformers: Last Night. Those things are going to make bunches of dollars. But if they get average reviews, I'm going to be pretty surprised. Do you
Well, if
think
you,
that?
okay, the Justice League movie will be a big disaster. I mean, it is going to be a big disaster.
It's still going to make money. It's going to make
It,
money for sure.
yeah. I mean, all these movies are going to make money because people, I mean, people are still paying money to get these comic books, even though a lot of these comic books are crap. But yeah, it'll make money. But the Transformers movie, though, I mean, if you stop a random moviegoer and you ask them, how many Transformers movies were there? Most people would say, three, four. I think this is the fifth or sixth. Okay, nobody is even aware of how many of these movies there are. It's like they're just white noise in the background that we know they're there, but nobody's watching them.
And then I think you're absolutely right. I think then the last pair of movies, before we transition into our top five, these are movies that I'm really probably most excited about and most want to do well, but and nervous that they're not going to be as good as I want them to be. And that is Wonder Woman and the Dark Tower.
Wonder Woman is going to be reviewed well. It's going to be a good film. The problem is if Justice League is as bad as we both think it might be, will Wonder Woman be able to overcome that negative noise that is coming? Will that be a drag on what kind of money Wonder Woman can make? The Dark Tower movie, it is really, really fascinating. I'm almost 60% convinced that King is not treating this as an adaptation, but as a continuation of the story, and he's making it another round through the whole cycle. And if so, that is a very ballsy to do. I mean, in other words, you're saying, yeah, this is a big budget movie that requires you to have read 5,000 pages of a novel to understand what the hell's going on. I mean, that's pretty ballsy. And I feel like that's what they're doing, though. So I feel like they're really making a really small independent film on a big budget.
One thing we should mention is actually Wonder Woman comes out before Justice League.
Okay.
So honestly, the question is the other way. If Wonder Woman continues this kind of meh trend of DC films, it's probably better to ask. They won't scrap Justice League, but it might be better to ask if Justice League might be a
Justice League
tax
is
on some of the
already,
cash that's
already.
being
I think
made.
most people, if you just ask them what would be the most hated film of 2017, there's a good chance most people would say Justice League. And what would you say the odds are that the best Batman in 2017 is Will Arnett?
I would say that's a safe bet. Maybe DC can break out of its slump somehow in some way. Hopefully, Gal Gadot and Will Arnett will be a part of that. And if anybody from Justice League also joins the party, that'll be good. But speaking of breakout, Brian, you've already mentioned a couple of folks that you think are poised for a breakout in 2017. So I'm imagining we may hear those names again as we move to the top five. Who are your top five folks who are going to make 2017 their year?
Well, for starters, I am going to go with the director. We mentioned this a little bit. Taiki Waititi, the director of Thor Ragnarok. I think that movie is going to just, I think it's going to be a pleasant surprise. I think I love his sensibility. I love Flight of the Conchords. And I love the idea of that kind of tongue-in-cheek surrealism kind of coming into the Marvel universe. Number four, a name that we already know, but I think Beauty and the Beast is going to be fantastic, and I think Emma Watson is going to be propelled to heights where you almost forget she was Hermione Granger and be this superstar. Number three, who I predict we'll be talking about in about 2 months as the current or the reigning winner of the Best Actress Oscar, Emma Stone. And she's in a similar place to where Jennifer Lawrence was 2 years ago and where Brie Larson was last year. But I think she's yet to find a vehicle, like a star franchise vehicle, to kind of build her brand on. She's done it just with the sheer personality of her performance. Although she was in the Amazing Spider-Man movies, I forget she was in them, to be honest with you.
It feels like her career has been much longer than Jennifer Lawrence's or Brie Larson's in terms of acting and film. It feels like she's been around a lot longer. And so, if this indeed is her kind of ascending to kind of a new level, it does feel different. It feels similar because of the age and that sort of thing in terms of the charisma that she possesses. But it feels different in that it feels like that she has maybe a little bit more endurance. There's still this part with Jennifer Lawrence that it feels maybe a little, she's got a little bit of flash in the pan kind of aspect to her. And that's not to denigrate anything she's done, but it just feels like she came up so fast, so
It
high,
does feel that
that
way.
she could crash and burn easier than it feels like Emma Stone
Yeah,
could.
it feel yes. It feels like the foundation was not as well laid as it has been with Emma Stone.
Well, who's number two then?
Number two, we're gonna have to go Zac Efron. And what I mean by that, I think Baywatch is gonna be a surprising hit. I think if you look back over the last couple of years, Zac has been sneaky dependable. I mean, his films are just always going to be bankable and make money. Now, granted, they position those films where they usually come out in non-peak times so that he's able to sort of dominate the, like Neighbors 2, those came out in like late February, March, so that they can sort of build when there aren't a lot of other options out there. But I think he's very funny. I think he's a lot more talented than you realize, and I think he has potential to really be a breakout.
And I might argue, I think he might be still a year away, but I can see what you're, I'm buying what you're saying. I may not be buying how quickly you think it may happen, but I get where you're coming from. So, number one.
Well, the number one breakout this year is, and you could make a case for all five of these being right at the same time, but I think that the woman who is starring as Wonder Woman, I think that movie is going to be good, and
Very good.
I think she is going to be have a career. Just in her limited role in Batman vs Superman, she has real charisma and real presence, and was able to, carry a part of that film without really a lot of hype.
Yeah, I do. I get the feeling there's going to be so many, both in terms of a preview, all these profiles of who she is. And then, yeah, I think you're right. She's then going to be probably the most in-demand name because she's the newest name. Well, listeners, we're at the end now again of another episode. Tell us who you think will be the breakout stars of 2017, what movies you're looking most forward to, and what movies you think just aren't going to quite be as good as everybody else may think they're going to be. When we come back in a couple of weeks, we will continue our look at genres that we started near the end of 2016. Our next genre that we're going to tackle is the biopic. Until then, we hope your week is a 10.
10 plus,
Boy.
borderline 11.